This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, November 25th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Rollins clarifies soybean commitment deadline. Greer says Europe needs to cut tariffs. NRCS announces new office. China's soybean target refers to orders, not shipments. All 12 million tons of China's soybean purchase target do not have to ship by the December 31 deadline, so says Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. It doesn't mean we'll move 12 million metric tons by the end of December, Rollins told CNBC yesterday, but it means that those orders will come in according to their commitment. Chinese officials have yet to publicly confirm the commitment, but Rollins said the deal should be signed in the next 2 weeks. Every sign is their commitment remains true, she said. A critical 2 weeks. Rollins gave an update on internal deliberations around giving tariff assistance to farmers. She said the USDA is looking at the aid and there will likely be an announcement in the next week or two. She added that the support package would have to reflect the latest trade conditions and ongoing negotiation. Every day that changes, she said, adding, we're still selling a lot more soybeans than we were a couple of months ago when we first started talking about that. Europe won't get more tariff relief until it cuts tariffs on U.S. ag. No tariff relief for the European Union until it makes tariff cuts on U.S. ag products that it agreed to in July, a top U.S. trade official says. That's according to U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer, who was with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick in Brussels to meet with European trade ministers and EU officials. It's really hard to move on other things or to broaden a cross-section of the economy before we fully implement the first part of the agreement, Greer told reporters. New Assistant Chief's Office announced at NRCS. USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service is launching an Office of the Assistant Chiefs to replace its current Office of the Regional Conservationist, Chief Aubrey Betancourt announced yesterday. A USDA press release said Assistant Chiefs will oversee regional operations and, quote, work directly with state conservationists to ensure consistent, science-based, and producer-driven program delivery. In the release, Betancourt said the move puts leadership in the field side by side with the producers we service and that NRCS is streamlining operations, improving accountability, and ensuring that every NRCS employee has the tools, support, and leadership they need to deliver conservation results that matter. Foreign Agriculture Service reports scheduled following shutdown. The Agriculture Department's Foreign Agriculture Service has rescheduled reports for livestock and poultry, sugar, grains, oilseeds, and cotton following the end of the government shutdown. The agency will release its world markets and trade estimate for livestock, poultry, grains, oilseeds, and cotton on December 9th at 12:15 Eastern Time. The reports were supposed to have been released in October and early November, according to a press release. FAS World Markets and Trade Report for Sugar, now released on Tuesday, December 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. World Bank report calls for countries to embed AI in ag policies. Global food systems are at an inflection point as farmers face a changing climate, higher input costs, and ever-shifting supply chains. A new report from the World Bank and Microsoft says artificial intelligence can lift productivity, bolster climate resilience, and support smallholder farmers in developing economies. The bank is recommending countries develop agriculture-specific AI strategies and invest in data infrastructure and AI skills to scale up adoption and ensure poorer economies are not left behind. We believe that data needs to get converted into products and services at much more efficient speed, Parmesh Shah, one of the authors, tells AgriPulse. Shah leads the bank's digital agriculture data and innovation work. Shah said ag AI investments are behind other industries because of lower returns and high data collection costs. There is a case for governments to implement policies to lessen those disadvantages and spur private sector investments, he added. Take note, the World Bank recently launched its AgriConnect initiative to lift smallholder farmer incomes, including by reforming policy in developing economies. Shah said he anticipates the report recommendations will help shape that initiative. OSHA proposes fines for vegetable company in connection with workers' death. A fresh-cut vegetable processing company has been hit with proposed penalties of more than $1 million for safety violations following an investigation into a worker's death. The Labor Department, Occupational Safety and Health Administration proposed the fines, cited the company, Taylor Farms, New Jersey, with 16 safety violations. Inspectors say the operation failed to implement proper lockout, tagout procedures to protect workers from severe injuries during sanitation activities. Taylor Farms has 15 business days from receipt of the citations to comply, ask for informal conference with OSHA, or contest the findings before the Independent Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Petition seeks to ban on use of antibiotics as pesticides. EPA has received a petition asking the agency to ban medically important drugs being used as pesticides. The petition says nearly 500 antibiotics and antifungals are now being used on fruits and vegetables. Filed by the Center for Biological Diversity on behalf of conservation, farm workers, and public health groups, the petition says the practice can lead to the development of, quote, superbugs. The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, quote, has determined that the medically important antibiotics the EPA has approved for pesticide use on crops can facilitate antibiotic resistance in bacteria, causing increased risk of staph infections at MRSA, the Center for Biological Diversity said in the press release. Here's today's final word. I just had a very good telephone call with President Xi of China. We discussed many topics, including Ukraine, Russia, fentanyl, soybeans, and other farm products. We have done a good and very important deal for our great farmers, and it will only get better. That President Donald Trump in a Truth Social post following a phone call yesterday with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, November 15th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.